You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Fred Flights is in the house, at least virtually. Fred is, of course, the Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs at the Center for Security Policy these days. He is a man who brings a wealth of experience with the intelligence community to his assignment, notably as an analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency for nearly 20 years, also as a member of the staff of John Bolton's organization. I consider it to be the America Desk at the State Department back in the George W. Bush administration. Fred served as John's chief of staff, also as a professional staff member on the House Intelligence Committee. He is the author most recently of Obama Bomb, the Dangerous and Growing Nuclear Fraud. It's great to have him with us, always. Fred, thanks so much for your time.
Good to be here, Frank.
So, you too were at our dinner last night as one of the senior members of the center staff. Just was having a wonderful reminiscence of it with Diana. Any thoughts you'd like to share with our audience about the Keeper of the Flame dinner 2017?
Frank, these dinners are a special experience for me. I attended these dinners for 25 years as a government employee, and I saw awards given to people like Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick, posthumously to CIA Director Bill Casey, to Ronald Reagan, who wasn't able to attend at the time because he was ill, Donald Rumsfeld, John Bolton, General Jack Keane, Judge Jean Pirro, and Senator Cruz was such an excellent addition to this group of American heroes the center has represented over the years. He really is someone who speaks for himself, who does the right thing, who does not worry about conventional wisdom. America is so lucky to have him. Texas is so lucky to have him in the Senate, and I'm so glad that the center recognized him last night.
I was too. It's really an honor for us as well. Fred, let me ask you about some of the issues you're following that are of concern to all of us, I think, or should be. North Korea. Donald Trump, of course, was in South Korea last week. I think since we last talked, he made a major address to the South Korean parliament about the North. He also spent some time in China talking to the people who are enabling the North. And in fact, we heard from Gordon Chang in a program the center sponsored yesterday, frequent guest on this program, of course, about the magnitude of the support the Chinese are providing, not just in terms of food and fuel and other kinds of material assistance, but in terms of their ability to threaten this country with transporter reactor launchers and missile canisters and perhaps missiles as well. They may not be the only ones doing that, but Fred, give us your sense of the current status of this challenge posed by North Korea and its enablers.
Well, first, I thought the president's speech to the South Korean parliament was fabulous. It laid out the threat in excruciating detail, not just the threat from North Korea's missile and nuclear programs, but the horrendous human rights situation, noting that living in North Korea is like a living hell. And that's what we want our leaders to be doing. And Barack Obama just never did that. That's the world knew they could walk all over Barack Obama. And I think he made a real difference. The president did. In Seoul when he gave his speech. And it's interesting to see all these liberal commentators faulting the president for calling out North Korea. And they had nothing to say when Barack Obama gave the North a pass. I see signs that the Chinese are finally starting to crack down on sanctions. I don't know that they're going to work, but my position is before we consider military action, we have to go down every peaceful avenue. And I think the president made the case to the Chinese, North Korea is a threat to you. This test site where they're testing these underground nuclear devices in North Korea, it could collapse, releasing an enormous amount of radiation. And as much as the Chinese want to use North Korea as a proxy to undermine us, I think there could be a new dynamic in play here. I mean, I'm not sure that's the case, but I think we have to be hopeful.
Well, and I think we need to pursue it aggressively with the Chinese to make sure they understand, as Gordon was arguing yesterday and does on our program with regularity, that the costs of continuing to engage in this kind of behavior with the North Koreans is going to always be higher than they can stand. And that's where we need to get to, it seems to me. You have noted in a recent piece about the president's speech in South Korea that it was reminiscent of one that your old boss, John Bolton, made back in 2003. I only wish that the policies that John had advocated then had been followed in the interval. We might not have the problem we have today had that been done.
Ambassador Bolton also gave a great speech when he was Undersecretary for Arms Control in 2003. What I tried to explain in my Washington Times column was that both President Trump and Mr. Bolton both gave tough speeches in North Korea. Bolton's went nowhere because the swamp undermined him at every turn, because the bureaucracy, the State Department that dealt with East Asia and the Pacific were all careerists. We didn't call them swamp creatures then, but that's what they were, Frank.
That, unfortunately, is what they are today, too, indeed. Hey, Fred, let me quickly turn to two other topics. You have been following, I know closely, this Uranium One scandal, the real collusion with the Russians, not to be confused with what still remains, it seems to me, mostly, if not entirely, a will of the wisp, the alleged one involving the Trump campaign with the Putin regime. I'd like to hear what your current reading is on that, but also, if I could, just impress upon our listeners that this is not the only example of such collusion to the detriment of our national security and, well, it must be said, the benefit of the Clinton Foundation and therefore the Clintons personally. There's also this matter of Skolkovo, this so-called Silicon Valley that the Clinton and Obama folks were determined to try to build for the Russians near Moscow, by transferring immense amount of very sensitive, obviously in some cases at least, dual-use technology like hypersonic missile technology now being unfortunately deployed by the Russians to threaten us. Your thoughts?
Well, I've been focusing on, and I'm writing today, on something that Shepard Smith said on Fox News this week, that there's nothing to this Uranium One story because a 9-member board allowed the Uranium One sale to go through, and Clinton says she wasn't involved. But Frank, you and I know the way these things work. If a major player on a board like this wants something to happen, it happens. Now, the Clinton Foundation had enormous conflicts of interest with Uranium One, receiving over $100 million in contributions to the Clinton Foundation, a $500,000 contribution from a bank that was lobbying Bill Clinton on the Uranium One deal. At a minimum, Hillary Clinton should have declared this and recused herself from this decision. The idea that, well, I wasn't involved, it just doesn't add up. This obviously is at least a serious ethics problem, if not a situation to put our national security at risk.
And not least because we've had increasingly evidence that Eric Holder's Justice Department, Robert Mueller personally, were aware of criminal activity that was going on in connection with this transaction and said nothing about it. I have to believe that was in order not to interfere with it because, well, I think Hillary Clinton was keen to see it completed. Fred, just very quickly, your thoughts on this technology transfer business. We've seen the Clintons do this in the past with the Chinese MIRVing their missiles, as a matter of fact. Would this be true to form?
I think it's true to form. It just shows the failure to have a national security mindedness, to realize things like this really can hurt our national security. And I think it reflects the greed of the Clintons, the greed of the Clinton foundations to just do anything to advance their power and their finances.
Fred Flights, we have to leave it at that. Thank you for your long and distinguished and continuing service to our country at the Center for Security Policy these days. We're very proud of you and look forward to talking with you again next week. Next up, Michael Daugherty, one of the men on the cutting edge of cybersecurity these days and the threats thereto, joins us next, right after this.